ever wondered what the best way is to talk with your children about sex? On today's episode, Liz has a great discussion with Stacy Golding, a licensed health educator. Stacy shares all kinds of tips to discussing the topic of sex with age-appropriate language and understanding. As a licensed health educator, Stacy has spent the last decade teaching at-risk youth about reproductive health. She's passionate about preparing couples for a positive, intimate relationship in their marriage. She believes everyone deserves comprehensive, research-based information about how the body works. Thus, her True Intimacy class was created. She's currently developing a class for parents to teach kids of all ages about healthy sexuality. She also is a wellness coach specializing in women and postpartum wellness. In addition to teaching, Stacy loves cycling, dancing, kayaking, pickleball, and classic rock. She resides in Utah with her husband and two sons. We hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to Stronger Marriage Connection. I'm Dr. Liz Hale, the psychologist, along with the professor, Dr. Dave Schramm. Together, we are dedicating our life's work to bringing you the best we have in valid marital research, along with a few tips and tools to help you create the marriage of your dreams. Okay, friends, so it's just the ladies today. Dave will be joining us next time, but let's talk about being a parent. That is hard. You are expected to be an expert in so many areas of life, not to mention how to answer the more involved questions from children like, Mom, where do babies come from? Thank goodness we have experts among us like life educator Stacy Golding, who knows how to handle the intricacies of talking to children about healthy sexual intimacy and the gift of their body. Welcome back, Stacy, to Stronger Marriage Connection.
Thank you. Love chatting with you.
So good having you again. So bottom line, and maybe pun intended there, if we as the adults and caregivers do not take the lead in our child's sex education, someone else will, Stacy, right?
Yes.
Even if that someone is Google or their buddy on the playground, how can parents circumvent children going elsewhere? And how can we all become more confident in this topic of sexuality? Where do you want to start?
I think it's good to remember that this is a skill that's not modeled to our kids. You know, we show our kids how to clean and manage their finances and how to play nice, but they don't see us in the bedroom, which is a good thing. But because we can't model it, they're seeing that modeling from TV, like you said, Google, their phones. And so as a parent, I want to create an environment where my kids can come talk to me, where I'm the expert in my home and can set up those values and boundaries that our family thinks are important. And so I think it's important to be intentional with teaching your kids about these things, because again, it's not being modeled for them.
Yes. And it's not an easy topic. I mean, that goes back eons, right? Of why sexuality is taboo. And yeah. So I suppose the first thing is for us as adults to get comfortable with the topic and calling body parts the right names.
Yes.
What's your best advice? How do we start to get comfortable, Stacy?
Well, I think, you know, sometimes we have to start by doing the work ourselves, because sometimes older generations, there's so much of that shame and there's a lot of baggage with our sexuality. And so if we can, you know, come to terms with it ourselves, then we can present a more clear version of that information to our kids, because a lot of it has been, you know, shame based or fear based in the past. And we want to approach it from a different side.
Yeah. Oh, good for you. I love the book, by the way, A Parent's Guide for Teaching Sex in Your Home. I think it's brilliant that we really wanted to have you come back on to help us to find a really good, solid foundation of how do we talk about this very sacred, beautiful topic to our children. You also warn us against demonizing teachers and even some of the maturation programs. And it's so easy to point fingers at schools, right? No matter what the topic is, we want to blame schools or teachers or curriculum. On one hand, it's like we almost want them to do our job teaching human sexuality. On the other hand, we still want to be the experts that instill values in our children. How do you suggest we direct all that's coming at our kids and try to even stay ahead of it?
Yeah, I've noticed parents take like one of two approaches. One is like, my kid has taken health. I've told them, let me know if you have any questions, and like my job is done. And that's not a great approach, especially here in Utah, because health teachers in Utah are kind of giving a watered down version of sex education because they don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to have any backlash. And so we really are getting this like dumbed down version where I remember when I got to college, I was learning anatomy and I was like, there were dozens of reproductive organs and tissues that were not taught in my high school health class that I was now learning for the first time. And I was just, I felt kind of gypped. Like, why weren't these taught before, you know? So that's one approach where we just kind of expect everything to be fine, health teacher, take care of it. And the second approach is that our kids are going to be exposed to awful things at school, and going to high school and learning about that there is going to ruin our kids. And I just don't agree with that. I do think our kids will be exposed to information, but these are learning opportunities where we get to like clarify and solidify our family's values around sexuality and our family's rules. And I just think they're opportunities because they're going to be exposed at some point, and I rather have them be exposed while they're still living in my home where I have power over what we talk about. Because if you don't do that, you wait till they're out of the house and you have way less control over those conversations and being there as a soft landing, you know?
Yes, you always say this is not a one and done topic, that you have to have these intentional conversations early and often. How do we even start those early conversations? Like, let's talk about babies, right? Where do we even go from there? Tell us how to get the ball rolling, if you don't mind.
Sure. So you want hundreds of little conversations. You know, gone are the days where we have one giant talk and then we say, let me know if you have questions. It's not effective. And I mean, I taught high school for 10 years and I could not say something once and expect it to stick, right? I would have to go over and over and from all these different angles. And so we have to do the same thing with our kids with sexuality. So starting with toddlers, I think the two best ways to approach it is what our body parts, well, what we have and what they do and where babies come from. And so you can keep it really simple that when you're bathing or changing your kids, you know, you're going over body parts and telling them what they have and tell them what they do. Like, oh, you have this body part and it's going to help you someday have adult love and to make a baby maybe someday. And you just plant the seed of like, that's what this is for. And it's really simple. And you can also approach it from where do babies come from? And, you know, you start small and grow with your kids' development. And with kids, the cool thing about kids is that they show you where they're at by their questions. You know, if they ask where does a baby come from, and you say mom's tummy, and they're like, cool, that's all they needed at that time, you know. And if they ask, well, like, how did it get in there, how does that work, and then you say, you know, mom and dad's bodies make this baby, well, how, you know, and they just don't, they're not satisfied. That means they want more, you know? So that's kind of what I focus on with that toddler age. Some parents might say, hey, my kids don't ask questions. And if they're not, it's probably because they don't know anything, right? Kids aren't going to ask questions about something they don't know. So you're going to have to approach the topic. You're going to have to, you know, give them the information and not just wait for them to approach you. With bigger kids, you want to start establishing, you know, your family's rules and values around sexuality and kind of become the expert in your home and the trusted adult in your home that they can come to you as a resource for all things. And then in high school, you're helping them navigate all the things you've taught them and be, you know, expect that they're going to mess up and that you are going to have conversations. And again, you're going to solidify those values. And you just want to take that information and let it grow and get more in depth and harder content as they get older and as they're ready for it.
That's beautiful. You know, going back to the toddlers, I love how you just so easily suggest that when you're bathing a child, you point out the various body parts. Mm-hmm. Like, tell us, like, yes, you might say, this is your elbow.
Mm-hmm. This is your belly button. Now we're going to wash, you know, your vulva. We're going, you know, we want to keep this clean and this is what it does, you know, and you create acceptance around those body parts where oftentimes, you know, in past generations, we had you know, slang words or nicknames, and or we talked about them in hushed tones, which made it feel like, oh, this is weird, we don't talk about this, like, and you're almost shaming the body right off the bat, where these little kids, they're very happy about their bodies, and I mean, they share with you what's going on with their bodies, you know, and so just making it a fact, this is what you have, it's awesome, it's going to do great things, sets them up for the future.
I love it. I love it. And then again, sexual intercourse itself then. So again, kind of stage by stage, right? Where do babies come from? Mommy's belly. And then progressively you get more and more what specific according to their questions and their age. And every child is different, right? Just because yes. they're a teenager or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, based kind of on their development, what they've been exposed to, I think sometimes it will change that timeline. But, you know, it's kind of recommended that around 8 is a bigger talk where intercourse is really gone over in detail. I mean, if a kid is ready earlier, then you give it earlier. And if you feel like they're not quite there, then you base it all on your child. But around 8 is preferable because, you know, research is showing that kids are exposed to porn between 7 and 9. And that's really confusing content for your kid to experience without having a conversation from you. And so I just believe in front loading and helping that kid navigate the world that they live in and they're going to see.
What I love about your resource guide, Stacey, is all the resources that you have, you know, and even just the little video clips, the QR codes. It's brilliant.
Thanks. I'm a parent, so I wanted something that would speak to parents. You know, I have an intimacy course for married or engaged couples. And for years, my friends just kept saying, I want something now. Like, I want to teach my kids now. And I was just like, no, no. And then I was like, well, let me look and see what's out there. And there wasn't a lot. And I wasn't impressed by the things I found. And so it was like, okay, let's make a resource guide that will go from age 0 from birth to, you know, high school, and what to say and when and how, and, you know, online courses. I never finish an online course. And so I thought, gosh, if I could just put the videos on a QR code, then they can just scan the ones they want to see when they want to see them and make it convenient for parents.
That's really brilliant. It's just so well done. You go through a lot of do's and don'ts that you want parents to know. Let's talk about some of the do's, if you don't mind, please. What should our focus be?
I think overall being authentic is really important. It's okay to tell your kid, I've never given the sex talk before, or I wasn't given the sex talk before, or I'm feeling nervous because this is my first time, or I don't want to say it wrong, but you can say those things and just say, but this is so important. I think it's worth going through the awkward or the uncomfortable to discuss this. So being authentic is really important and coming from where you're at. You know, I'm, you know, a health educator. And if you're not, you can say that, like, hey, I don't know how to pronounce all these words, but I'm going to help teach you and we're going to figure this out. And so I think being authentic is a big tip. I think validating questions, because you're going to get questions that come your way that your initial thought might be panic of, I don't know what to say. And always be like, wow, what a great question, you know, or that's an important question, or I'm not sure how to answer that. Let me go look it up and like get back to you tonight. You know, like you don't have to make stuff up. Just say, let me get back to you. I think getting both parents involved, if there are two parents, to get them involved, sometimes it leans on the same gender parent. But it's really powerful when you validate someone else, your child's experience, when you're not the same gendered parent. And again, just having many talks. Talking about it all the time in small little snippets. You know, I always tell people, use what's in front of you. You know, if lyrics come on in a song, pause it and say, hey, do you know what these are and what this means? And if we agree with this as a family, or, you know, if something comes up on TV, don't just change the channel and pretend it never happened. Pause it and say, this is why I'm not okay with this content, or this is why we are okay with this, or, you know, have a 1-2 minute dialogue and then it's over. And if you do that just consistently, your kids will be way more prepared, you know? And I think providing a resource, because kids are curious. And so that's why I made this book, is here are pictures you can show your kids. And from each age, like this is an appropriate picture for this age, this is an appropriate picture for this age. And then it can get more detailed as you go. So give them information because they're curious. And again, I'd rather have it be in an educational, healthy way than them just Googling and trying to find stuff online.
Very good. And then the biggest don'ts, Stacey, what are a couple of those, please?
Like fear-based tactics, like, you know, if you don't do this, you'll get an STD and be pregnant, or shaming sex that it's a bad thing, because it's a healthy part of every adult relationship and we want to prepare them for that. And so instead of saying don't, it's, hey, I have these rules and boundaries for this moment, for when you're older, so that you have this healthy relationship. And don't assume they already know. So again, a lot of parents say, well, I've told my kid if they have any questions, they can come to me. Well, it's just not enough, especially with this younger generation being raised. So don't assume they know, and always check in. Do you know what this means? Have you heard this at school? And keep that dialogue going.
I appreciate this whole message of starting early and having this conversation often. You know, the shocking way that I found out about sex was when I was either 5 or 6. I can't remember if it's kindergarten, first grade, but I remember the shock of walking into my parents. And it was so upsetting to me. I thought that something was terribly wrong. And I ran downstairs and woke up my older sister. She's about 6 years older. And I described what I saw. My parents were naked. My mother was on top of my father. She goes, oh, Liz, that's natural. And then I thought, oh, she's crazy too. I got to get out of this house. It was so upsetting to me. I wish I had heard more before I'd gotten to that age.
Sure. Right? Sure. That's a core memory at this point,
you
know?
It's a core memory. That's right. And let's say that does happen to parents who might be listening today to our show. What's your best advice? How should they talk to their kids after children walk in, no matter what the age is?
With young kids, they probably have questions. So I do suggest sitting down and talking about, like, this is an adult way to show love. We don't want you to be doing this as a child, because it's not good for your body or your brain as a young kid. But this is why we do it, and it helps our relationship, and it feels good. And even though it might seem weird or disgusting right now, at some point you might want to do this. So with younger kids, like, kind of like your age, you were, to give them some context. With teenagers, they're not going to want to talk about it. Okay. They do not want to be sat down. But my tip with teenagers is keep it lighthearted, right? So after, you know, say, wow, that was awkward, or sorry about that. And you can kind of keep it lighthearted and say, well, at least your parents love each other. Like, there's worse things that could happen in your home. And we hope someday that you have an awesome sex life with your partner.
Nah, that's a beautiful way to handle that.
Yeah, I think they don't want to, you know, hopefully at this point they've already learned a few things from you. Like, they don't want to sit down and have a heart to heart, but just, you know, hey, next time knock, or next time whatever. And this is great. And you'll love it too someday, you know?
That is such a great, it's all about your attitude as a parent, isn't it?
Sure.
My mom did a lovely job sitting down and talking to me. My dad didn't. Again, it was gender to gender, right? Like, typical. But I remember then going to school and church announcing that my mom was pregnant.
Oh.
She wasn't. But that was the message I got, that that's what we do when we want to conceive a baby. So anyway, it was quite
so
funny.
Saying, you know, adult love, I love that phrase, you know, it just teaches them that, you can use this to make babies, but also, like, we just love each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, I never forgot that. And I'm sure my poor parents never forgot that. I love your insights, Stacey, on teaching children also about personal consent and boundaries. And consent always goes both ways, doesn't it? Teaching a young child even to kindly say, no, grandma, I don't really want a hug or a kiss right now. Or adhering to a no from a playmate when their friend doesn't want a hug. What else can we teach our children about boundaries, as well as giving in, requesting consent?
Well, I think it's important that teaching about consent, it's our child's job to communicate their boundary and then also to respect the boundaries of others. You know, I'm very sensitive to this because I have 3 boys, and my husband's really big and my boys are really big. And as they grow, I want them not only to communicate their boundary, but to respect the boundary of other people. You know, that just is a huge part of it. And You know, we often teach our kids to be nice, right? That's one of our core values in our home, is to be kind and to care about others. But when it comes to boundaries, a lot of people think having a boundary is being mean. And it's not. Having a boundary is kind because it keeps everyone safe and healthy. And I mean, that can be used in any relationship with any topic. But teaching our kids, like, you have to say and practice saying what your boundary is. And you could do that with teenagers too, you know, like before they go on dates, you know, having them like, what's your boundary? And can you state it so people know, is really big. I like the acronym FRIES that is used for consent, FRIES, and F stands for freely given. So it can't be coerced or pressured in any way. R is reversible. So at any time you can change your mind, because sexual experiences are progressive. And if you were okay with this, and then as it progressed, you're not okay, you should be able to say no at any point. It should be informed. You know what you're getting yourself into. It's enthusiastic. Like, we're both really excited about this, and it's specific. So it can't be silence or or I don't know, or, you know, it has to be like, yes, I am into this, yes, I want this. And so teaching our kids from a young age, like, yeah, you can say no if you don't want to hug, and you can say no if you don't like this, especially with authority figures, you know, that you're in charge of your body, and it's not your job to appease adults with your body. So It's definitely a cultural shift, you know, but progress is definitely being made there.
We'll be right back after this brief message. And we're back. Well, let's dive right in.
I love how you go into consent, even in your intimacy course. And I got to tell you, Stacey, that's still my favorite gift to give newlyweds in your intimacy course. I just really think it's effective. I hadn't thought about consent even in married life, you know, a sexual act that don't just assume that we start with consent, that we continue with consent, kind of still check in with each other.
Yes. Or something you've done in the past doesn't mean it's a green light to do it again. And so that can be confusing for people, right? Like, oh, we were okay with this last week, but it's like, well, I'm not okay right now. And that's okay. So, yeah, we want that consent throughout marriage, right? That's how marital rape happens. And I think that's the saddest thought to think about, you know, one partner's really into this and loving this and thinks their partner's with them, and they're not, and they're hating the experience, and it's doing the exact opposite. It's not bringing closeness and connection and love. It's creating damage. And so, just checking in, are you okay? Do you like this? Do you want to do something? You know, like, just checking in, that's
nice.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the no's have it, right? If a partner is really not into a particular act, I see a lot of people get offended. A lot of other partners get offended that their wife or their husband doesn't want to do X, Y, Z. What's your advice to those couples?
Well, I tell them, you know, often we make it personal, right? Like, I'm a bad lover. I'm a bad wife, husband, whatever. And the truth is, it's just a preference. You know, it's like food. You know, when I cook a recipe and I follow a recipe and I ask my husband, like, do you like this? Typically, he's like, less vegetables, more meat. Like, he gives me that feedback. It doesn't mean I'm a bad cook. Like, I followed this recipe, right? And even if I made up the recipe, still, it's just preferences, where I would way more prefer more vegetables and less meat. That's my preference, right? And so when your partner doesn't want something, it's not because you're a bad lover, or they don't love you, or they're not attracted to you. It's just what people want. And those change too through time, right? You know, something that you didn't like, you might like later, or vice versa throughout how your relationship changes, your hormones, your body changes, you know? And so that's why just checking in is good.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. Those, what we model for our children, you know, appropriate modeling, right? Outside the bedroom is so key, you say, our affection, being affectionate as partners, being affectionate with them. Can you tell us a little bit more about what we should remember in teaching affection and warmth in our homes?
Yes. I think, again, because they can't be in the bedroom, let's model love and affection when they are around, because they're learning from us how we communicate, how we show up in our marriages, how we talk about our spouse, our kids are taking notes, and it's either making them excited for marriage or they don't want anything to do with it based on how we show up. And so being affectionate and just having a good, working on yourself and working on your marriage is one of the best things you can do for your kids, in my opinion. But also being affectionate to our kids, because I mean, the research just shows time and time again that when parents are physically affectionate with their kids, they do better with their self-esteem, happiness, success. You know, it's amazing seeing the research. And so I realize not every kid is a physical affection type child. And so obviously cater it to who your child is and what they like, so we're not smothering. But if you can just establish some, you know, routines of affection, whether that's a hug as they leave for school or get back from school, when they wake up, when they go to bed, sitting close on the couch while they talk or while you're watching a movie, just to show them that you're there and that you love them, I think is important.
Affection is so good, right? We need that touch. I really also love your suggestion, Stacey, on being clear on the why. Why don't we have all these conversations? You really want us to widen our perspective on why we're trying so hard to teach healthy bodies, healthy minds to our kiddos. Too often the why is, well, I just don't want an unplanned pregnancy, right? In adolescence. But you say that is just not enough.
Yes, because it creates a negative connotation around sex, right? Like, I don't want my kid having sex in high school or getting pregnant or viewing porn or all these, you know, lists. And the truth is, my greatest hope for my children is that they have a happy, healthy sexual life with their married partner as an adult, right? Isn't that what we want for our kids? I want them to be healthy and happy and just to be so in love. And so teaching it from that angle of, this is why we have these certain rules and boundaries and values, is we want to keep you healthy and safe so that you really enjoy and have a great experience when you're an adult. So it's not just don't do it, it's bad. It's like, no, sex is amazing when there are proper boundaries and values in place. And so, especially where teens right now, they want to know why. They're not just listening to, like, mom and dad said so. They don't care. So giving them the why really matters of, hey, I want you to have this in the future. And let's get there through this healthier, safer path. You know,
I love it. I love it. You're not afraid to tackle any topic too, Stacey. When it comes to helping parents raise sex positive children, you even teach about sexual abuse prevention. And what do you want parents to know and to teach their children about staying safe?
Yeah, well, it's kind of frightening to think, you know, the national average is 1 out of 5 kids are sexually abused before 18. And Utahns, you might not know this, but our rate is higher. So we're 1 in 4. And my personal belief is because we don't talk about sex and it's hush hush. And so things grow in darkness, in my opinion. So I like to teach the 3 R's of safety for our kids. And the first one is recognize strange behavior, because, you know, my generation was taught stranger danger, and statistically it's not going to be a stranger. It's going to be a neighbor, a cousin, an older sibling, a family friend. And which is so sad to say, but that's the truth that I think we all need to just handle and accept. And so we want to teach our kids about strange behavior, and it's not okay for someone to play games or take off our clothes or to touch us, and be very explicit with, that's not okay. And it might be someone you love and you still have to say no, and that's not okay. And kind of prepare them for that, because that's very confusing for little kids, because it's coming from someone they love or admire. And we have to prepare them for that. So the first one is just, if it's unsafe behavior, in our family, we have family safety rules. And so we say, these are our rules. And if someone tries to break them, you say no, and we want to know about it. And some of our family safety rules are, you know, we play in bedrooms with the door open. We don't, you know, play at friends' houses when their parents aren't there. We don't look at naked people on screens. We don't take off our clothes. We don't do any touching games, you know, so we kind of go through that with our kids. And so then they're aware, if someone's breaking that family safety rule, that's an unsafe behavior, and we don't want to be there. Refuse is teaching them to say no and that they can say no and use a strong voice and even say no to someone in an authority position or someone that they love and that that's okay. Because again, that kindness factor really is hard for kids to realize that having a boundary is kind. So teaching no and practicing, you know, having situations where you say, what would you do if this? What would you do if this? And talk it through and then say, let's practice saying no. Let's say it louder, say it more forceful, you know, and so that they have that muscle memory when it, if it ever comes time, heaven forbid, you know. And then the last R is report. So tell them, I'm going to believe you and I'm going to trust, or you can trust me. You can come talk to me and we're going to do everything in our power to keep you safe and to provide healing. You know, we will do therapy. We'll do anything we need to help you live a happy, healthy life. And so again, that's recognize strange behavior, refuse any strange behavior and report. So that's kind of what we go over with our kids and that I teach in my classes.
Yeah, good for you. Oh, I think that's just so crucial. There are other critical topics that are not easy to discuss either around teaching healthy sexuality, if you will, Stacey, like masturbation, pornography, and a lot of families have very strong feelings about those topics. What are the foundational truths from your angle as a sex educator, health educator, that you want us to keep in mind when sharing this information with children?
I'm going to circle back, but that this is natural and healthy that you have these interests and curiosities. So I'm not going to shame my child that their body responds or they're interested in sexual content because that's what we were all designed to do. And so if you can tell them that, that helps them feel relieved. Like, I'm not crazy. I'm not a monster. It's like, no, you have feelings. And then saying those feelings are going to serve you so well when you are in an adult committed relationship. And we want to steer you in that direction. And that's the whole point, is we want to keep your brain and your body healthy so you can have that relationship. So that should be the focus. Because I think when anything is tackled from shame or guilt, it doesn't have good outcomes. And so we can work through this, we can figure this out. And again, everyone has different values around those topics with their family, but figuring out what those are, sharing them with your family is important.
I really love the direction you're taking. And it really is, bottom line, the most beautiful thing in the whole wide world, isn't it? Under the right circumstance.
Sure. Yeah. And I think too, with pornography, it's pointing out to your kids, like, this is an industry that we don't trust. They make a lot of money to make fake content that distorts the reality of sexuality. And so, you know, oftentimes there's objectification, there's a lot of violence. There's never shown consent. You know, we don't see consent or emotional intimacy or boundaries or commitment. Like, we don't, you know, and those are the things that we value in our family. And so saying, you know, this is why we don't want you viewing this stuff, is it's not good for your brain. And we want you to have a healthy life.
Yeah. Healthy body, healthy brain, healthy life. Mm-hmm. So much to look forward to, right? It's so exciting.
Yeah.
I think that attitude you just exude from your material, Stacey, that's what I love most about you. So Stacey, one question we like to ask all of our guests here on Stronger Marriage Connection is, what do you think is the key to a stronger marriage connection? Could be something we talked about or something new that we haven't discussed yet.
Two things come to mind. The first one is just being intentional. I think every day you have to choose, like, I'm choosing to be married and I'm choosing this marriage and this person and showing up, right? And so I think that's really important. And the second thought was to be the type of partner you want to have. So how am I showing up? You know, am I a pleasant person to be married to? Am I an exciting person to be married to? I just want to show up and be the type of person I would want to be married to.
Yes, it's beautiful, isn't it? Yeah, because we're that only person for our partner, right? We're the only one in this whole wide world that is married to this individual. And how do we want to be? I think that's beautiful. Where can our podcast friends and family most easily find you, Stacey, and your resources?
Yes, my website is Stacey Lynn Coaching. And I have my courses there. I do coaching on there. So that's the one-stop place you can find that. And you can purchase those classes, and that book will be shipped to you that we talked about. And so you can have that as a resource guide that you just keep near your family so that they can look through it and you can have great discussions. And, you know, you're not expected to be the expert. And I realize that, you know, I know nothing about cars. I can't help my kids with cars, but you can become the expert with this book, because I think it's best coming from a parent. So if there's anything you don't know, or you don't know how to say it or when to say it, the book's designed to help you do that.
Mm-hmm. So two things on Stacey Lynn Coaching is the intimacy class for newlyweds, or actually for anyone, right? Any couple who have been married 15 or more years or whatever it might be. I've had couples as well in my practice who have loved that even way after their newlywed stage. And then a parent's guide for teaching sex in your home. It's wonderful, Stacey. I'd love to know, just bottom line takeaway, what's the main message you want us to really understand from our discussion today, please?
I think it's important to look at where your kids are, what developmental phase are they in, what's coming ahead, and front loading it and letting that information come through you and helping them navigate the world. It's not too late, right? I know we're going to have viewers that are like, I didn't say anything and my kids are already this old. It doesn't matter. You can start right now and say that, say, I didn't realize this topic was that important, or I dropped the ball, or you grew up really fast and let's dive in now. You know, it's not too late. And just being intentional about giving that information is huge.
I think that is so big. There's so many great takeaways. It's hard for me to just choose one. I so love consent through all the ages. I think that's brilliant, even in married life around consent. I also just really love when information comes up to have that conversation in a commercial or a song with the lyrics, like you said. I think those are such great teaching moments and great conversations even for couples to have. You know, what do you think about what just happened there? What are your thoughts? And to deepen the connection we have.
Yes, definitely. You don't have to be so fearful about the things our kids are exposed to, because you're going to create the lens in which they see it. And so instead of walking around thinking, you know, being panicked about the exposure, be like, hey, these are opportunities and it's going to solidify our values, and it can be a positive thing versus just always negative and you're nervous about it.
Mm-hmm. And if parents start early, like you say, right from day one, like, oh, good job filling up that diaper, little baby, right? we start to kind of practice right along with them. We get ourselves used to naming body parts and having those conversations about bodies being so awesome. We get a little more comfortable. We don't just have to start off with intercourse, right?
Yes.
We get to grow as we go. So that's wonderful.
Definitely.
Thank you again, Stacey, for joining us today and instructing us on this very tender but crucial topic. That's it for now, dear friends. And please join us next time. Dave will be with us. And do remember, it's the small and simple changes that create a stronger marriage connection.
Thanks for joining us today. Hey, do us a favor and take a few minutes to subscribe to our podcast and the Utah Marriage Commission YouTube channel, where you can watch this and every episode of the show. When you hit the like button and leave a comment, your feedback helps us improve the show. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend. You can also follow and connect with us on Instagram at Stronger Marriage Life and on Facebook at Stronger Marriage. Be sure to share with us what topics you want us to explore or what you loved about today's episode. If you want even more resources to improve your relationship connection, visit our website at strongermarriage.org, where you'll find free workshops, webinars, relationship surveys, and more. Each episode of Stronger Marriage Connection is hosted and sponsored by the Utah Marriage Commission at Utah State University. Finally, a big thanks to our producers Rex Polanis and Alexis Alcott and the team at Utah State University. And you, our audience, you make this show possible.